Okay, now it's 6 p.m. Okay, welcome everybody. It is July 12th, 2022. It is 6 p.m. and I will officially open the Town of Heath virtual select board meeting. Again, July 12th, 2022. The meeting is being recorded by one of the participants here tonight. First item is identification of callers. The select board, myself, Robin Provost Carlson, I'm here. Sue Lively.
Here.
Brian DeVries.
Here.
Town Coordinator Helma Sumner.
I'm here.
And then for folks that are visiting, we have Barbara Gordon. Hi, Barbara. Jesse Wiegand. Hi, Jesse.
And Mrs.
We have, let's see, Pat McGann.
Here and recording.
And Ned Wolf. And I think Ned is here from FinCom for us tonight. Yes. Okay. Did I miss anybody else? Okay. So the next item is review of the agenda. So last week we had to cancel a meeting for a handful of reasons. And then we took the items from that meeting and broke them up, had this meeting, which was not originally on the schedule. We added it in. And then we will meet two consecutive weeks. So this week and then next week. So next week, we will be meeting because of the existing dates that are still existing for where we're going to be meeting. As far as I know, the next meeting, this will be our last virtual Zoom meeting. And next week we will be located at Jacobs Road. We'll talk about that a little bit more at the end of the meeting tonight, but next week we'll pick up some of the other items like the dog hearing that were on last week's agenda. Most of the other ones we're picking up tonight. And so everything's listed or in the mail. Anything from you for the review on the agenda, Sue?
No.
Brian?
No.
Thelma?
I'd like to postpone the cement pad for propane tanks until next week.
Yep. Okay, anything else? All right then. Next is a public comment opportunity. I don't believe we received any requests, but is there anybody here tonight that would like to make a public comment? Jesse? Hi, Devin.
Hi.
Have you guys been paying attention to the January 6th hearings? Even in passing?
This is public comment. So yeah. Was that
okay? I'll just assume that you have been. And, you know, I don't know. I'll assume you are. But this country came dangerously close to losing its democracy. You know, people in this country aren't happy. And you listen to the hearings; they're talking about what Trump knew, when he knew it. You know, what was his intentions and all that. And they're missing the bigger picture. The bigger picture is how in this country did we get to the point where so many people can look at a man like Donald Trump and believe that he's a good option over what would be more traditional candidates, you know, both on the left and the right. And, it seems to me that government has just angered so many people that they look to a man like that as like their savior. And that's a very scary thought. And I think that a lot of the things that are making people angry out there in the world, you know, I think national elections are more of a reflection on how people feel about government in general. And I think that, you know, even in Town of Heath like this, there's plenty of reason for people to be angry at government, you know, whether it comes, you know, from the condition of our infrastructure or you guys, your willingness to just ignore the votes of the people or just impose your will on people, even though you don't have majority of support. You know, I think we're entering a dangerous time in this country, and it seems like government needs to have some self-reflection and look in the mirror and try to figure out how we got to this point, which, you know, leads me to my complaint that I filed, which obviously you guys know that, you know, the AG's office really didn't put much effort into the response, and it ignored many of the aspects that I brought up in it, and they didn't address all the supporting documentation I all sent to them to, you know, address about this, how the cell tower thing went. You know, we all engaged in a democratic process. We showed up at our planning board meetings. We spent hours at the planning board meetings. The planning board put a ton of effort and energy into their ruling, and they voted twice unanimously against the cell tower. And then we were sued And you guys told us repeatedly, falsely, that the law requires you to enter executive sessions and that the law requires you to operate in secrecy, which it does not. I even called the AG's office after we got the complaint back and asked him, how could you just ignore all this information? I told him I sent them documentation that proves it. I wasn't being told the truth, and we weren't being told the truth about when you're required to enter an executive session. And I'm not kidding you. The AG says that you guys are not, you know, it's not illegal for you to lie to us. And I don't like to say that you lied to us, but it seems pretty obvious that you did. You know, you were sued and immediately entered into executive session, and you did it to operate in secrecy, not so much to find a better solution for the town. The law says you may enter executive sessions. It does not say you must enter executive session. Robin, you told me on November 30th that unfortunately you can't share any information with me because the law forces you into an executive session. And then there was followed up by an email from Hilma, which states that it's not your fault the law forces you into an executive session, which it doesn't. You know, you're telling people that the law forces you into executive session, and then you use the fact that you're in executive session as an excuse to operate in 100% secrecy. And it's these kinds of things, I think, that give people a reason to vote for Trump. Don't get me wrong, I'm never voting for the guy. I can't stand the guy. But I completely understand why so many people have given up on our traditional leaders to vote for him. And it's a shame, you know, the cell tower. You know, nobody in the community in the area where the cell tower is going to be is in favor of it. To my knowledge, nobody showed up at any of the public meetings that were in favor of it that were town residents. Of course, the police chief and the fire chief showed up to vote in favor of it. But, you know, one's an employee of the town and the other one, I don't believe, even lives in Heath. And it's the cell tower. This is one of those things that's huge, which makes a huge impact on a community. And you operated in secrecy. And to this date, you have not reached out to any one of us to discuss this. Nothing's preventing any one of you from reaching out. Nothing prevented any one of you from reaching out before you decided to operate in secrecy. You know, that was a choice you all made. You chose to operate in secrecy. You chose to throw us all under the bus. And the reasons you used to justify it are dubious at best. I mean, they're going to put up a radio tower for us, something we should have done a long time ago, just like repair our fire department should have been done a long time ago. And, you know, the real kicker was they're going to pay back $2,500. I think we could have come up with a collection and given you the $2,500 if it was that important to you. You know, it's insulting to say you threw our whole neighborhood under the bus because they're going to do maintenance we should have done beforehand, and they're going to refund us $2,500. You know, anybody who knows much about cell towers, it's really easy to find out. Cell towers cause all kinds of things for the people who live in close proximity to them. They cause headaches, migraines, insomnia, heart arrhythmia, palpitations, tinnitus, skin rashes, allergies, dizziness, vertigo, anxiety, fatigue, concentration and learning difficulties, memory loss, infertility, depression, mood changes, leukemia and other cancers, brain and eye tumors, blood-brain barrier leakage. And all of these effects are compounded in children. And you know there's children living here. And you just operated completely in secrecy. You know, you threw all the work the planning board did under the bus. You threw our whole neighborhood under the bus. And you did it to, you claim safety. How can you claim safety when you didn't even take our safety concern into account? You know, it's just, this is why people are pissed. You know, and it's like, it's all these little tiny jabs. And it's not just Heath, it's like throughout the country. Obviously people are pissed at government, and government doesn't seem to have any self-reflection on how we got to the point where half the country looks at Donald Trump and says, yeah, that's what we need. He'll save us. And it's scary. It's really scary. You know,
basically. Jesse, I'm gonna ask you to wrap it up because
okay,
I'm
just basically what you're saying is the bylaws only apply to us common folk, and anybody who's got the money to sue, you guys will just fold. You know, and it's shameful because now next time AT&T or Verizon wants to come in, why would they enter into a good faith effort with the planning board when they know all they got to do is get denied and sue? You know, why would they engage? You know, why would they do that when they know that you guys will just operate in secrecy, do what you want to do, and not take into consideration the views of the people who are going to have to live with your decision? Because it won't be you guys. I guarantee you won't be the ones kept up at night wondering if by not moving we're giving our kids cancer. Or if we should move for our own health, or, you know, that's why Kate's leaving town. Kate's leaving town over this whole thing. That's why she resigned her position. That's why she put her house in the market. And that's why she bought a house in Maine.
I got to ask that you kind of, if you got a final statement, could you give us the final statement? And then I got to move on, Jesse.
You're choosing to move on. You're choosing not to hear what I have to say.
Nope. It's been 6 minutes.
The law does not require you to enter executive sessions. You repeatedly told
me. I'm hearing you, Jesse.
All right.
final statement? Do you have a final statement? And then we're moving on.
I think the rest of Heath residents should be afraid, because obviously this cell tower is only going to cover like 10 to 15% of Heath, and it's going to cover more of Row than Heath. And that means that AT&T is going to come looking for more properties to impose their will on. And if you act the way you acted with this cell tower, anybody else in Heath should be scared that their home is next on the chopping block.
Okay.
And, you know, it's shameful. And, you know, we all lost our country on January 6th, and government has got to stop giving people a reason to vote for Trump.
Okay. Thanks, Jesse. Is there anybody else for public comment? Devin.
Yeah, I just wanted to say the roadsides look good. All the work that the town crew has been doing with the trimming and the ditching. The ditching's a little extreme looking, but I know when the foliage comes in, it'll look a lot better. So good job to that. One negative thing is that there was an accident on 8A the other day, and the road was closed for hours, and they, like, nobody put up any sort of detour sign or anything. And we came home from Charlemont with a camper and had to turn around and go up, you know, the back way, and it was fine. But I would just ask that if there's a road closure, to please put a little detour or some cones at the, you know, intersection beforehand, so people know to avoid it. You know, because that happened with the Dell Bridge before. Also, I drove all the way down there and then had to turn around and come back. So just, you know, a little common courtesy whenever there's work like that where the road is totally impassable. So that's it.
Hey, Devin, thank you. We will follow up. Thanks, Devin. Anybody else for public comment tonight? Okay. All right. Thank you. Next item on the agenda is review of minutes. So we are looking at the minutes from June 21st, 2022. Town of Heath Select Board virtual meeting minutes. Sue?
First page, under the Mohawk Trail Woodlands Partnership, first paragraph, fourth line. Find the foundation is has now. I think you need to take out the is.
Thank you.
On page 2, first paragraph, second line, you have two hads there. I think it reads easier if there's just one. And then under town buildings and offices in the third paragraph, you misspelled the word same. Third paragraph, third line.
Yep, thank you.
And I think that was all I had.
Brian?
I have nothing to add to that.
Neither do I. So that would be great. So could I have a motion to accept the Town of Heath Select Board virtual meeting minutes for June 21st, 2022 as amended?
So move.
Second.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Sue, aye.
Brian, aye.
Robin, aye. Thank you. Okay. So next we have the FY23 appointments. We had done a handful of these a couple weeks back. We had some open slots. I see one thing on here, Helma, that we forgot. We've got to the local building inspector is not Dave Roberts.
That's
for the FERCOG.
Right.
And you know what? Now you're going to ask me to remember his name.
Yeah, what's the new guy's name?
It's Jeff, I think. Isn't that
what?
It's like it begins with a G. Are you looking it up, Brian?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it was Jeff.
It's like Jack's last name, but it's not. It's Good something. And I forget.
Okay, it's listing Dave Roberts, still listing Dave Roberts on the website.
Yeah, it's not though.
Well, it's Jeffrey something.
Sorry, everyone.
We'll
I sent it to you, Helma, but I'll look it up in a little while. Why don't we go through, what are the other ones that, I'm opening my other computer while we go through the others. We've done the rest of the front page and we don't have any fill-ins, do we, that we were, the animal inspector is still open. Oh, we have boards clerk. Do you want to discuss that right now in appointments?
Well, we can if you want. I don't think it matters to us. Would you like to do it now?
Yeah, so we can go right down this list. Why don't, since we're making appointments, why don't we go ahead? I know you had a group that did interviews.
So there was one application received for the position. The interview team, which consisted of myself, Brian, and Elisa Villaringo, met, oh dear, when did we meet? Friday morning, we interviewed Alice Wozniak, and after she left the interview, we reviewed her resume and her responses and unanimously agreed that to recommend her for the position of board's clerk.
Okay, and did we have a hourly figure with that?
Yep, we did. Was it $16 an hour?
We discussed it at the interview, but
I think we would recommend, you know, whatever the wage was that was appropriated for the position. And I think it was 16.
Okay. All right. So can I have a motion to accept the interview team's recommendation that the select board hire Alice Wozniak for the board's clerk position? Can I have that motion and then we can open it up for discussion?
So move.
Second.
And now discussion. Sue, comments, thoughts? And you're muted. Okay.
But, she certainly has the qualifications and she has the experience to step into the job and start. I'm sorry, but I've got a long message coming on my phone here. So I would be in favor of it.
Brian?
She has a wide experience with different boards and different towns, and I think that made her, you know, well qualified to deal with being a boards clerk for numbers of boards. And she, you know, she has not quite a few years and of experience with municipal government, so it seemed like she was well qualified.
Okay. Helma.
Yeah, I just looked it up and the designated hourly wage for this position is $16 an hour.
Okay. So I'm just gonna do a friendly amendment to my own and to add that $16 an hour piece in there, if that's okay, Sue and Brian.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. And so any other comments that anybody would like to make from the interview team? So that'd be Helma or Elisa, anything?
There, She is, yes, thank you. She's incredibly qualified and incredibly knowledgeable. And I'm so thankful, quite honestly, that she is going to be able to, if she accepts the proposal, that she'll step into this role running and she'll just be able to get right up to speed, since the Board of Health has been acting without a clerk for 2 weeks now. So she'll just be able to pick right up. So I feel very confident in that. The one small hiccup was that the Board of Health had asked that the clerk be able to take minutes at our meeting. And that is something that's probably, as discussed during our interviews, probably not something that is going to happen, certainly on a regular basis. So that's something that the Board of Health, we're going to have to deal with. So that was one little hiccup, but honestly, what she brings to the table kind of outweighs that little hiccup. So that was my point of view. So I just wanted to make note of that. And I'm sure that we'll find a balance going forward, but I felt very strongly about her being the perfect candidate. So.
Great, thank you. Helma, did you want to add anything further?
No.
Okay. All right, then I'm ready. Unless there's anything else, Sue or Brian, I'm ready to vote unless you have any more discussion. All in favor?
Do I?
Brian, I.
Rob and I. Okay. Yama, you will take it from there, please.
Yes.
All right, so animal inspector is still open. You know, don't anybody like get too excited about that position. Lord.
Are you hiding, Barbara? You'd be a great animal inspector.
Keep my lips. Retired.
Hey, there's two Barbaras here, and I know you're not talking to me because I run away from animals, not towards them.
No, you're off the hook. Barbara Gordon, we were talking to.
Do you still want the name of the building inspector?
Yeah, actually, I just found it too. It's Jeff. It is Gojen. Yeah, Gojen. So it's Gojen.
Oh, Gojen. Jeff Gojen.
Gojen.
Okay. So we do need to make that correction with a new vote, please. Motion on that. A motion to replace the existing name that we voted in last time of Dave Roberts as the local inspector of buildings from the FERCOG with Jack Gojen.
Jeff Gojen.
Gojen, whatever.
Jeff. I think he's Jack. Not Jeff. Jack goes up here.
Yeah. Can I have that?
So move.
Second, please.
Second.
All in favor?
Do I?
Brian, I.
Rob and I. And then the only other name that I think we're missing on the front page is the highway mechanic operator. That position is filled right now with Donnie, who'll be retiring, as we spoke about. And the we have a group that the interview team of Helma, Jeff, and why can't I remember who else is on that?
Will
Emmett. It's going to get there. Will Emmett to start doing those interviews, and they'll be reporting back to us at some point. Okay. And let's see, did we vote? Now remind me what we did here. We did everybody on the up to committees and commissions also, mm-hmm. right? Except for Senior Center.
There's nothing to get appointed on page 2 for tonight.
Okay.
The first one start on page 3 with the single asterisk after the name.
Can I just go back to the Senior Center, because you had asked us to review that?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
The Council on Aging met and discussed it. They looked at how much money they could make available for the position. And they're guessing that they could probably support 5 to 6 hours a week. And at the next meeting, they're going to go through the job description that we had created and think about what would be the priorities for that amount of time. So we will be getting back to you on that as soon as that's completed.
Very good. Thank you. All right. Okay, so we have the Cemetery Commission then is the first one. That's what you're telling me, Helma? Go to Cemetery yes. Commission? Okay. Yes. So, and we'll just take these by kind of groups here. So Cemetery Commission, I'm looking for a motion to appoint Claire Rabbit, Jerry Gilbert, and Eric Sumner.
So move.
Second.
Any discussion on those three? Hearing none, all in favor?
Sue, aye.
Ryan, aye.
Robin, aye. And then Conservation Commission. So we have appointments of Brian DeVries, Pam Porter, and Bill Luttrell as the consultant. Is that what you're telling me there?
Those are the three who responded. I have not heard from the other ones. I don't know if Brian has any more information than what I do.
I have asked Buck about it in the past, and he did want to remain on the commission.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't catch up with Henry. I didn't even think of it. I helped. I gave him a hand jumping his car, I didn't think of to ask him about that.
And Heather Rowe hasn't responded?
She's not responded. I would guess that she would probably want to continue since she hasn't submitted a resignation, but.
So we could appoint everybody, the full slate, and then they'll obviously either, when they get their appointment letters, they'll either say yay or nay.
Yes, you could do that.
Yep. Okay, so can I have a motion to basically reappoint? So Heather Rowe, Brian DeVries, Buck Oden, Pam Porter, Henry Josephson, and Bill Luttrell as the consultant.
So move.
Second.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Sue, aye.
Ryan, aye.
Robin, aye. Okay. So Energy Advisory Committee, so we have one vacant, can I have a motion to appoint Brian DeVries, Will Emmett, Bill Luttrell, Steve Thain, and we have one vacancy.
So move.
Second.
Any further discussion?
Sue, aye.
Yeah, all in favor.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Looks like Heath Veterans Memorial Committee. Can I have a motion to appoint Jerry Gilbert, Dennis Peters, Peter Smith, and Hormidas Lively?
So move.
Second.
Any discussion?
It's Army Das.
Oh,
Army
yes, Das it is. Lively. That's right. Army Das. That's right. Or Andy. Yeah.
A lot of people know him as Andy.
Okay.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Sue, aye.
Ryan, aye.
Robin, aye. Okay. Historical Commission is next. I have a motion to appoint Heather Hathwell, Nina Marshall, Jane Dane, Susan Gruen, and there's one vacancy.
So move.
Second.
Further discussion? All in favor?
Sue, aye.
Aye.
Aye. Robin, aye. Okay. Okay, Parks and Rec. All right, well, I'll really mess this one up. So we have two vacancies on Parks and Rec. And can I have a motion to appoint Shahid, how does he say his last name? The last name?
Jaleel.
Jenna Day and Mike Kuchera.
So move.
Second.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Sue, aye.
Brian, aye.
Robin, aye. So did anybody else respond, or are there no other takers on that one, Hilma?
And Parks and Rec?
Yeah.
Well, you have two folks who volunteered last year, and your decision was that you did not want to appoint anyone until you got the charge worked out and written, so that to new people, you could kind of present the charge and say, you know, is it some version of, is this what you're willing to commit to? And the charge has not been written yet.
Not been sent, right. Well, it's kind of hard for them to write a charge if they don't have a committee. They can't really get back to us if they don't have people. So these are previous, the three previous, right?
That's correct.
Yeah. So thoughts about that, Sue? What do you think?
Well, we have asked for some input from them on their charge, so that we could be clear about what was needed. Since they're the only thing that we've been able to find was from, I think it was the 1980s. And it was basically keep the common pretty. That was their charge, and it's just completely changed. So it seems hard to advertise for somebody to fill those positions if we don't have some sense of what their duties are now, because this changed dramatically over the last 10 years.
Ryan, thoughts?
Well, they are doing work right now, regardless of the charge. They're pursuing grants, and they've done a lot at night. I don't think there's any harm in appointing people to fill out the slate. You know, we can deal with a charge as we go on. And maybe if they have a full committee, they can, you know, comment on the charge that they have and what they think has changed or needs to change.
I think I'm okay with that too. It was, remind me who it is. It's Bob Dane, and I can't remember the other. I'm sorry.
Chelsea. Whose last name I can't remember, that lives on Ledges Road.
Okay. So Sue, are you, what are your thoughts? Are you okay appointing and then kind of like Brian said, work on getting there? All of us work together to get the charge.
Okay.
Thoughts?
I am comfortable recommending one of those people.
Okay.
Robin, it's Barbara Rowe. Can I ask a question?
Sure.
As a former member of Parks and Rec, a few years ago before school committee, I believe it was 2019, summertime-ish, we had a proposed mission statement, which was never fully voted. It's kind of when I left, everybody was talking about different mission statements. So when you are all discussing what the charge is, would that, if I still have those in my folders and we had done some work on them, but they were never voted in. I'm happy to forward any of that information your way. It was a collaboration of efforts to produce, and then you can drop, delete, or add anything to it. But there was some work done in 2019 towards a mission statement.
Sure. Actually, yeah, I would think a mission statement could be part of the charge. So if you want to forward whatever you have to Hilma, that would be great. And I think I'm going to recommend throw out there that we've done the three appointments of the existing members that are still interested. Go ahead and keep that standing. And Hilma, can we send them their appointments can the letter also state that we need to work out the new charge, you know, the actual real charge for this group, and that we're asking their assistance so that we can get the rest of the appointments put in place?
Yes, we certainly can do that. I have had an email conversation with Mike and sent him what we had, along with a couple of other thoughts of what needs to be included. And I did that 3 weeks ago, I think, after our last meeting.
Okay.
But yes, I can certainly do that.
Okay. Does that seem like it would make sense? And then fellow select board members, does that make sense?
That's fine.
Brian? Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. All right. And how much, if you want to send that to me, I can help too, if you want me to, or at least review it. And if I get any thoughts.
Okay.
If I can help, I will. Okay. Certainly. Thank you all. Thank you, Barbara. Okay, so Wired West delegate and Wired West alternate, we need to appoint those two as well. So Sheila and Art.
So moved.
Yes. Okay, can I have a motion for that? Yeah. Any further discussion? All in favor?
So I.
And I.
Rob and I. Okay, so town boards appointed by the select board. On Board of Health, so the only appointment is Susan Gruen, if I'm reading this right, and then one vacancy.
That's correct.
Okay, so can I have a motion, and then we'll open for discussion. Can I have a motion to appoint Susan Gruen to the Town of Heath Board of Health?
So moved.
Okay.
Any discussion? Nope. Hearing none, all in favor?
So I.
Brian, I.
Rob and I. And we have Zoning Board of Appeals. So I'm looking, can I have a motion to appoint Stephen Thane? Hold on, I have a question first. Take back. I'm looking for a motion. Yeah. Hilma.
Yes.
Before we appoint Alice, do we need to do anything now that she's the clerk?
Well,
I did not ask Mark that when talking to him about it. This one just skipped my, didn't even enter my mind.
I guess she would be. She would become, no matter if you appoint her or not, she would become a special employee?
Wasn't she already?
I mean, she holds more than one paid position.
I think we need to get clarification on that one. Just to make sure, because we had to do something before once, I remember. So I'll just take a motion to appoint Stephen Thane to the Zoning Board of Appeals at this point.
One man band. Can we appoint Alan Nichols too?
He's already there. We don't have to appoint him.
He's already there.
Okay. All right. I got it. So I move that we appoint Stephen Thane.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Sue, I.
Brian, I.
Rob and I. So I just want to point out that we really need to expedite that, because at this point, without appointing Alice, we do not have a quorum on that board. So they might not be able to have a meeting because they're a 5-person board.
Correct.
Do you think you'll find out that answer before? Well, I don't think there's anything on the table. We can put this on for next week, get the answer, and then vote her in next week if everything's okay.
Yep.
Okay. So let's put that on the top of the to-do list because we need to make sure that's a full board. So two vacancies on ZBA, if anybody's interested. One vacancy on Board of Health, just putting these out there. Okay, Mohawk Trail Woodlands Partnership Advisory Committee, sort of FERCOG. So this is Art. Can I have a motion to appoint Art to the Mohawk Trail Woodlands Partnership Advisory Committee?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Sue, aye.
Aye.
Robin, aye. I think that's it. Okay, thank you all of you who have stepped up and filled some more seats. Those who had already been appointed 2-3 weeks ago, thank you again. And spread the word on Animal Inspector. Might as well just give up on that one. Senior Center Coordinator is gonna be discussed further. Energy Advisory Committee, Historical Commission.
And don't forget, even though it's not on the list of appointments, finding a school committee representative to appoint.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. School committee rep. Oh, boy. ZBA, Board of Health. Lots of positions, folks. Spread the word. Anything else on appointments? Sue?
Nope.
Brian?
Nope.
Nilma?
Nope. Not ready. Right,
thank you. Thank you. Thank you. End of year 22 transfers. Today, Hilma sent out to us a recap. And I'm going to turn this right over and let Hilma give us a little synopsis. And if people are good, we can do a vote on that. If Ned, I assume you saw the summary as well that Hilma sent out.
Just a list of suggested transfers.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Hilma, you want to give us a little summary?
Sure. What I did was I took the July 1st expense reports that the accountant had supplied 2 weeks ago. I also reviewed the warrants from this past weekend, which would be the last fiscal year, FY22 fiscal year charges, and entered them in where it was relevant in terms of overdrawn accounts. And so what I found were the 12 accounts that were overdrawn with the amounts listed, the total of which is $22,001.85. I then looked for accounts where there were, amounts of money, particularly significant amounts of money, just because it makes it simpler, and designated the four accounts that are on the list that have a significant amount of excess funds that total the same amount. And those are the accounts that I am suggesting or recommending that you vote to transfer monies to cover the overdrawn accounts.
Very good. So I'll ask for a motion to get this on the table and then we can open it up for discussion if there's any. So can I have a motion to make end of year FY22 transfers as listed? So we have a total of deficit accounts totaling $22,001.85 and a suggested four line items to transfer funds from for a total of $22,001.85. Can I have that motion, please?
So moved.
Okay.
And I'll open up for discussion. Sue, anything?
As far as you know, Hilma, is this all of it? Or are we up to still get a couple of things?
There may be a couple of other things, but I really don't know at this point. You know, I don't know if the accountant will get any like last minute invoices, FY22 invoices that will need to be paid by July 15th. I can say this is the bulk of what there is by far.
Okay, and I guess my other question is there anything here that's a surprise that we should be more cognizant of for the coming year? I know the budgets are all already set, but I'm just wondering if there's something that we should have been planning for that we haven't.
Well, let's see.
I mean, we knew some of these things were going to be over. The 52 cents from the Franklin County Tech is not going to break the bank, but.
No. Well, I think we should say that the legal fee line item that is high, that a portion of that is reimbursable that we have not yet seen, right?
Most of that will be reimbursed.
Right. Right. And we put more into the budget this coming year for legal expenses anyway. So, I mean, that seems to me one that we've taken into consideration for the coming year and have addressed it. I just wondered if there was anything else there that maybe we've missed.
I think some of the items are just like, we have salary line items. One is we created a new position that needed extra training and then had to be used more than what we expected. We had a medical issue that needed filling in. We had another one that was computer issues that now are taken care of. So that shouldn't be a continued issue. Another salary issue. I think that's the same.
Well, may I comment, like the post office substitute salary?
Yeah.
That we bumped that up a lot more for FY23 because it had stayed essentially the same number of hours for many years. And so it did not take into account the increases in the post office manager's amount of vacation time that she was earning.
Right.
As she worked more years. Also, she was out twice with COVID, which meant a lot more substitute hours than what had been budgeted for.
Yeah, and those are all things you can't anticipate. I'm just wondering if there's anything that indicates that maybe something we forgot to consider when we were doing budgeting that we should keep in our minds in the future. So,
not necessarily. I mean, there's some things like, say, the veterans benefit. You know, I get a dollar amount from the veterans office, and they do their best in estimating, but they don't know if there's going to be, say, somebody new file for benefits mid-year or something like that. So that's really pretty unknown.
That's it.
Brian, anything?
No.
Ned, did you have any questions or did you want to make any comments?
I don't have any questions or comments.
All right. If there's nothing else, no further discussion, I will call and say all in favor.
Do I?
Brian, aye.
Rob and I. Thanks, Hilma, for doing all of that.
Okay.
Thanks, Ned, for joining too.
Oh, welcome.
Okay, other business. Here we go. Here we go. First item, other business, COVID and mask wearing. In your mail, part two, first letter, we have a letter from the Board of Health. Board of Health lifting mask mandate. At the last Board of Health meeting on July 7, 2022, the Board of Health voted to rescind the mandatory mask mandate based on the facts that Massachusetts has again classified as low COVID transmission risk by the CDC and that Heath has not had any reported case in quite a few weeks. While we agree the reported numbers do not accurately reflect the number of COVID cases in our area, the trend is a positive one. Board of Health and COVID collaboration stakeholder feel that it's time to shift the responsibility to the individual to assess their own COVID risk levels. In addition to rescinding the mask mandate, the Board of Health would like to provide educational material for Heath residents that would outline resources that they can utilize to aid in their self-assessments on how to safely go about their lives in a community that will continue to see rise and fall of COVID numbers as we move forward. The Board of Health would also like to clearly state that the mask mandate may be reinforced if COVID rates climb to concerning numbers. Board of Health feels it is important that they, along with the Select Board, are unified in their message to Heath residents and would welcome the opportunity for further discussion if Select Board is of a different opinion on the mask mandate being lifted. Thank you, Board of Health. So that's in your mail. I read it for everyone else that's here. And at our last meeting, we had the question on the table as to whether or not if the Select Board votes to rescind the mask mandate in the public buildings, if an employee who felt uncomfortable for any reason or a group or committee could kind of request that or mandate that masks be worn in their presence. And in talking with council on a couple of other items, Mark said to me that if an individual would like to be able to, if they feel that they need to have masks in their own personal office, that they can request that of a visitor as long as they provide an alternate form of meeting with that person, meaning outside or in a larger area. However, if there are groups, you know, a large meeting that's being held, that meeting group, commission, committee, board, all of those folks, that they would have to go along with the mask, the release of the mask mandate. You could not ask, like one group of people could not ask the public that are coming in general to wear masks over our order in a public meeting. So yes, a personal employee, like say Hilma, if she felt that she wanted to have, if someone entered her personal office, she could require them to wear a mask as long as she then gave them the option to meet outside in a public space, larger public space or outside of the building. But the board of, let's say the ZBA could not have a public meeting and then tell people they have to wear masks if we've already rescinded that. So that's the answer we have. We have the recommendation from the Board of Health. Thoughts, questions, Sue?
No, I was part of this meeting, so I was part of this discussion and I agreed with it.
Okay, Brian?
I'm in agreement.
Okay. So then I would be looking for a motion to lift the existing mask mandate in public buildings. I think that's it, right?
Question?
Sure.
We already had a motion at the last meeting and we tabled it. So does that—
Oh, that's right. So pulling it back off the table. I restate my previous tabled motion, right? Hilma, something like that, don't I do that? Okay, good. Yep. Thank you. Thank you. Did we second and everything that last time, or did we not second it? We did. Okay. So then all in favor.
Is there a discussion available?
We can have discussion if you.
I just wanted to add one caveat, if I may. If this motion passes this evening, if the signs that say mask mandate can stay in place until the Board of Health has the educational material to swap them out with, which I would hope would be in a matter of days. I would hate for those signs to come down. Can we not do that?
No.
Okay. I just didn't know if I had a couple days to, I'm out of town at the moment, so I just didn't know if I had a couple days to pull it together. But it shouldn't be too long.
Yeah, once we vote, they'd come down.
Okay, understood. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, what was I doing? Oh, all in favor.
Sorry, Robin.
That's okay, that's all right.
just add to your day.
And I.
Rob and I. Thank you. And thank you, Board of Health, again. All right. COVID we've done. So board's clerk. Can we go back to COVID and mask wearing? I asked this quite a while ago, actually, Elisa, while you're here. I don't know if in your educational material, I was hoping that in public buildings, we would still have some type of a poster, I think they exist, or something that says that people can wear masks. You know, I just want people to be patient with those who choose to wear masks. I guess that's what, I don't know if there's something like that, so.
Right. That's my intention, is to have supportive material available to make a safe space for people who want to wear masks. And the educational material to help them decide when and if they should be wearing masks, to help them assess their own risk levels. So it is coming. But thank you.
Perfect.
For that. Yeah.
Thank you.
And I hope to have that Board of Health table remain at Jacobs Road, where they have the information, where the masks are provided, if that's agreeable.
I see no problem with that. Anybody have an issue with that?
No.
I don't think so. Yeah.
Okay, great. That's fine. Thank you.
Thanks. Thanks, Lisa.
Yeah, you bet.
All right, so COVID, board's clerk appointment, we took care of. Cement pad, we're tabling. Town buildings and offices. I don't think I had anything on that. Did I? Helma, anything on town buildings and offices we have to do tonight?
I don't think so.
Okay. Sue, anything that you wanted to bring up there?
No. I think just that the Jeff Dugan
mm-hmm.
did come and do a tour of all the buildings.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yes.
Just so that the public knows. Brian and Helma were there, so.
Yep.
That's right. Thank you. I forget my weeks now. Do you want to just recap that quick, Brian, since I wasn't there, that he came and a report's coming or whatever?
Yeah, he had limited time to produce a report. So because he was going on vacation, like in a day or two after he made the visit, but he visited 18 Jacob Road and went through the building, and then he went, you know, looked at all the grounds and made suggestions about accessibility for play areas and play fields. And then we went over to he kind of reviewed his report on Sawyer Hall. He didn't really have anything to add because he basically stood by what he had reported before, and is, you know, being there only confirmed what he had seen. So we went over to the community hall after that and went through all of the accessibility issues there. There actually weren't too many on the community hall. I mean, there's some things in the way that need to be moved and stuff like that, but basically of a parking area, a place, a level into the building,
there's an issue with one of the bathrooms about angled wall in the women's bathroom. But anyway, that'll all be in his report. So I'm not sure. I don't know how long. I assume he'd probably be gone for 2 weeks. Okay. We will get it.
All right. Great. Thank you. Okay. So that's it for town buildings and offices. Community Hall 150th celebration. So this was just my opportunity to report back to the full select board that a group of volunteers have come together. And again, we have to say thank you to Lisa Virengo. I feel like she's just part of this meeting tonight. Because she's been pulling had pulled some folks together that had volunteered. She and I would both also like for folks to know if there's other people out there who are interested in being part of a group that is coming up with ideas on how to proceed with a 150th celebration for the for Community Hall. We'd love for people to reach out to us. And there's a working group that has started pulling some ideas together. We'd love to hear more. Even if you don't want to be part of an actual group, but you have ideas, please send them our way. And we had a tentative date. We were looking at the end of August to try to get this in, which was, it's a little quick. But the hope was that we could do that because of the good weather, trying to capture the good weather. However, there's a handful of concerns about that date. And we have another little working group meeting on Thursday of this week that I think we're going to further discuss the date. And that may be pushed out some. So no final date to report right now. When we do land on a date that will work for as many people as possible, including the building, we will get a flyer out and that'll, we'll get that circulated amongst everybody. I'm gonna ask Hilma to do a blast with that. And we'll get out as much information as we can. So it's a date to get together. We're looking at doing it in the afternoon on a Saturday, probably 3 hours worth of time. And it'll just be a celebration of the building, the Heath's history. We're trying to get folks like the fire department and other individuals, our town elders involved. We're trying to do a lot, bringing together some activities for children, storytelling, music, cake, ice cream, all those type of goodies. Exhibits, have exhibits available for people to take a look at, possibly some weaving. So these are some of the other ideas that have been kind of bounced around. And I just wanted the opportunity to start talking about it at the select board's forum since we're part of that celebration as well. And to say, Sue and Brian, if you guys want to be involved or if you have any ideas, please send them our way. And we'll be sending, I'll keep having little updates at our meetings, letting you know where things stand. Sue, any questions, thoughts right now?
Nope.
Okay, Brian, any questions? And Alisa, you want to add anything?
Thank you for the recap. I think you hit all the aspects that we've been discussing so far. This is, I hope the community understands this is a work in progress and we're just getting the ball rolling and all ideas are welcome. And anybody who wants to participate and have a voice, they're absolutely welcome. We did start with a small planning group just to try to nail down a date and get the ball moving. But I think we need to expand a little bit and maybe pause and regroup because that date really isn't working very well for a handful of people for a variety of reasons. So that's why I think we're going to push the date back a little bit more so it can be more inclusive and the whole community can feel really excited about it. So that is my intention for this celebration. And I think that's it. But yes, please, anybody who's hearing this are welcome to email me. Hilma has my email address. And I'm just excited to make something really exciting for everybody to feel good about. So, thank you.
And fellow select board members, Lisa and I spoke. We've spoken a couple times. Of course, I had the meeting. She's been extremely helpful and willing to kind of take like be a center point for this whole process. Something that I as the select board member that volunteered to be in the group, it's not something that I have the time to do. And so I hope you guys are as comfortable as I am with Elisa being that person. I think that she's good to keep pulling everything together. It seems to be working well and is going to be a help for us to make this successful. So that is where we stand with that. And I will put this on for next week, because we will have had another meeting, like I said, on Thursday, and I'll do another update next week if we have a potential date. Great, thank you. Disposal of building furnishing. Hilma?
Okay, so I sent out the list that's titled Unneeded Property Items. And this is a list of things that either the building use committee brought to my attention and asked that I get permission to dispose of them, or that the town would find new homes, so to speak. They focused on a lot on what was in Community Hall, because they are working diligently to remove all the junk. I don't know how else to say it. Then there's also the things listed there from Jacobs Road that will probably never get used in our lifetimes, that would be good to dispose of. And then also, like the last thing that I had just put from various locations, there's lots of kind of like obsolete electronic items, computers, printers, a fax machine, phones that were from the old phone system from, I don't know, ages ago. And it would just be good if we can dispose of these things.
Does dispose mean throw away?
Well, not necessarily. I mean, some of them, I mean, like the analog TVs that are, they're all huge and as from my understanding, can only be used like if you're going to run like a DVD or something like that. You can't really, they aren't smart TVs.
Yeah, no.
Would probably be the best use would be to take to somewhere to dispose of. I mean, in essence, throw away. The wooden folding chairs, that are still in usable condition. It was suggested perhaps offering them to the Agricultural Society. Mm. That's where a lot of the other chairs went. You know, anything that's broken certainly should just get disposed of. Mm-hmm. The steamer, the Building Use Committee thought perhaps it could be sold on eBay. The same with the school chairs. It would be nice if they could be sold somewhere.
That was going to be my question. Those school chairs, no other school wants them?
No.
Oh.
I mean, not, they were first offered to all the other district schools, and
okay,
there weren't any takers 5 years ago.
Okay.
So.
Hmm. Okay. Brian, any questions, thoughts?
It seemed like there was a lot more stuff in that room, you know, that one classroom that the seniors want to use. You know, there was a lot of more furniture other than the 50 chairs. And I yes. wondered if we needed a harder look at that, because it's a shame to have that room out of service just because of junk.
Right. Well, some of the items in that room, I don't think we want to get rid of, such as like tables that are extra at the moment. However, they do get used for things like at elections, things like that. It would probably, some of those other things that are in there, it would be a matter of, what can I say? Finding a new home within the building where they can be stored. Some of the other stuff that's way in the back, I don't know what's there. I don't know how useful it is. That's something that I would need to consult with Tim, I think, and get his opinion.
If we could get those chairs out of there, it might be easier to spread out what's current, the other stuff that's in there, so that we could really see what it is and what use it might have to us. It's hard when it's all piled up.
I know, quite honestly, there's like a couple of desks, I think, in there that Council on Aging has expressed interest that, you know, if and when they have their own space over there, they would like to keep that furniture.
So at a minimum start, we can at least, I can ask for a motion to allow for the disposal of the building furnishings as listed on the sheet that's been provided by Helma. If we're in agreement there, I could ask for that motion.
Want a motion? Mm-hmm. So moved.
Okay.
Further discussion? All in favor?
Sue, aye.
Brian, aye. The Franklin County, okay. You can take those down to Greenfield, like the TVs and stuff. And they have electronics collection spaces there.
Mm-hmm.
I think the IT guy that services Heath said that they dispose of some of those things too. They have a way of taking care of them. So that's another sort resource.
Yes, and I also found out that Staples takes old electronics. Oh, yeah. You can only bring in 7 at a time. However, you can get rid of it at Staples for free. Northeast IT charges, I think it's $10 a piece to dispose of. To take it to the, you know, the Greenfield transfer station, there's a charge for that as well. So I vote for Staples.
Jesse,
let's
start.
A lot of your scrap yards will take your e-waste and actually pay you for it. I know the place in Northampton that takes scrap. I've brought in old stuff and they'll actually pay you for it.
Ooh,
great. Thanks, Jesse. All right. So Hilma, you'll work on saying goodbye to these things. I can't believe there's nobody anywhere that wants those school chairs.
Can I ask if there's a size on the school chair? Are they like preschool or sixth grade size?
Preschool.
They're 50 preschool size school chairs?
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Preschool.
They're probably preschool, first grade, second grade.
Yeah.
They're shorter ones.
I may or may not know a program in Greenfield that could use something like that. Would it be a cost to that? Or should I just reach out to Hilma to connect her with someone who may want them?
Yeah, contact me, Barbara.
Okay, thank you.
Very good, thank you everyone. Okay, next item, response to Mohawk Trail Regional School District, FY22 error. Last time we had this on the agenda, Ryan, you were gonna
work on the response. Yeah, I sent some comments to Hilma this afternoon to include her.
To a letter to Mohawk Trail?
Yes.
Okay, so Hilma, you're going to work on the letter?
Yes.
Okay, all right. So can you work on that? Oops, sorry, go ahead, Brian.
Maybe the
finance committee would like to look at it too, or some member. But
okay.
And when do you think this might be ready?
Simple, I think.
Say that again, Sue. Sorry.
I was just wondering when this might be ready. I feel like we're kind of holding up the works right now by waiting for this letter. And I think it's something all of us would like to see resolved and behind us.
Well, if Hilma has the notes, can we have it ready for next week's meeting so we can review it?
I will certainly try.
Okay. So we'll keep that on for next week and hopefully be able to review a letter. And then the second to last, procedure review for dog hearing. I just put this on here. We're not allowed to talk about this specific hearing that we have coming up, but we do have a dog hearing. For some of us, it's our first. I just wanted to make sure, I know Brian has done them in the past. Sue, new for you and new for me too. I'm doing my homework. So I just wanted to be able to throw out that if you have any concerns about the actual procedure or any questions that you feel like you would like to have answered by the dog officer prior about procedure, how we actually take how the process goes, you can send those questions to Hilma, and Kyle said that he'll give any further procedural instructions that you feel like you need ahead of time. And he'll obviously give everything at the meeting on next Tuesday as well. But you also have you've got some information from both the dog officer, Kyle, from Hilma. And Kyle will be reaching out to Hilma to confirm prior to the meeting next week that we have all of the most current information. It'll be strictly about the hearing matter that will be coming for us, before us. It has nothing to do with any other events. And at the end of the hearing, it's a very specific steps that need to be taken during the hearing. I'll be running that. Lucky me, there's a protocol. You do have a copy of that came. It's not that I have to be specific to this. This is kind of a template for us to follow. I'll be pretty close to this, be swearing people in and taking statements. It'll be specifically for the plaintiff and the dog defendant. And there'll be opportunity for both to speak and for any witnesses specific to the event. And it will be time for the dog officer, Kyle, to speak to us and for us to ask any questions. And we can come to an agreement, our judgment or finding that evening, or we can put that off if we feel we need to, if there's something further we need to get for information. You'll note, if you want to do some homework before, if you have not already, you have Massachusetts general law to follow. That information Hilma has sent out to everyone, so you can look through there. There's some definitions that might be helpful for people. And you also have the Town of Heath proposed general bylaw section, the animal welfare section, that can give you some information specific to the Town of Heath if you want to review that. And you have a nuisance and dangerous dog information page from Copelman and Page that might be helpful for the legality piece of it. All of this will be reviewed again next week, and you'll have the statement, the actual complaint, and you'll have any reports from the dog officer. So that's next week. Again, next week will be in person. Just a reminder on that. So any questions that I might be able to answer? Sue?
No.
Brian?
The last hearing that I attended, we had a attorney from KP Law at the hearing, and I don't know if that's something we should be considering on this one or not. If there's any circumstances that are different, maybe Hilma has, Hilma, were you there at that hearing? The dog,
it was not,
we had the dog.
I was not at the last dog hearing, except I'm somewhat familiar with it. And if I recall correctly, it was a much more complex situation overall.
All right.
I have spoken to Mark just to get myself ready to run a meeting since it was my first one. And between Kyle and Mark, I wanted to make sure I was doing this correctly. So I had to do my own little education, obviously. And I don't feel that Mark thinks that someone needs to be here, but I will I have to speak with him again about one other item, and I'll just confirm that again, Brian.
Okay.
But if there's any other questions, please forward those along to Helma and she'll help get the answers. And Helma, just if you haven't heard from Kyle in the next day or so, reach out to him just to say, P.S. Robin said you'd make sure we have all of the information. So we're ready ahead of time, not Tuesday morning. We'd like it, you know, by Friday of this week. So we have time to look at it.
Mm-hmm.
That is much more helpful to me mm-hmm. and everybody, I'm sure. Thank you. Okay, that's that. And
Green, I wanted to go.
Sorry. Go ahead.
I go back to the assessment error.
Go ahead.
I contacted Mark Rich to ask him some questions about this matter and the regional agreement. And he said because he represents other towns in the district, he could not comment on this. And he made a suggestion of another attorney who handles these kind of matters and regional agreements. The guy's name was James Lampke. It's Lampke and Lampke is the firm. And so I needed to know if the board wanted to approve consulting with this attorney.
So this attorney will just review what we have to make sure we, to do what?
We'll review some questions that we have about the assessment.
Okay.
And in light of the regional agreement.
Okay, so following what the finance committee basically kind of asked for is, it's the same thing that we're asking the Mohawk Trail for just further clarification on the assessment and the validity of that assessment maybe or something like that.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
All right. My personal opinion is I'm okay with that. If Mark can't help us because of his situation, I'm okay with seeking separate counsel on that if we feel we need to. Sue, what's your thought?
I'm okay with it. I mean, if we need some legal advice, we need to have somebody that we know we can turn to. And, you know, because Mark represents too many people involved in this, it's not going to be, we can't go to Copeland and Page.
Okay.
We can't go to Mark.
Right. Yeah, so I'm okay with that. You want a motion on that or what? You want to vote on that? You want to vote? Oh, she's saying yes.
The boss says.
I was going to say Mother Hen is saying yes. All right. So can I have a motion to confer with, you're going to have to tell me the name again.
James Lampke.
Okay. For any legal assistance he can provide on any questions that the town may have on the assessment error for Mohawk Trail Regional School FY22. Have that motion.
So move.
Second.
Any further discussion or questions? All in favor?
Sue, aye.
Brian, aye.
Robin, aye. Okay.
Robin, can I ask one more question?
Sure.
It's related, but maybe unrelated. I'm just curious if on the public records request for the FY22 error, if the town of Heath was charged any fee for the documents that were presented.
Hilma?
No.
Thank you.
Sure. Anything else on that I skipped over on assessment error? Okay. And so we did the dog hearing procedure. And then the last one is the Green Communities update. Brian, anything on that you'd like to share?
Yeah, no, I have nothing back okay. from DCI. Maybe Hilma knows the tech school work that was being done. You know, the light, changing the lights and all that. Are we done?
The work is not completely done. They ran out of school year, so they will be back in the fall.
All right.
They have changed out all the lower outside lights, the lower street lights.
And you mentioned previously that they, because they were starting with a new group, that they might be able to do some of the interior light changes too.
That's what they expressed.
All right, but they haven't given us a proposal or anything yet on that.
No.
Okay.
No.
Anything else on Green Communities? Okay. Do you have a report, Hilma, tonight?
I don't have a written report.
Okay.
Completely slipped my mind. So I guess in terms of a report, you heard what I've been doing.
Yep. Any other questions on anything that we didn't cover for Hilma, Sue?
No.
Nope. Brian?
No. Nope.
Okay.
I do have one piece of news from the Board of Health that didn't get talked about, but our opt out for the mosquitoes was approved.
Oh, good.
Right?
Sorry about that. Sorry, did not share that. Yes. And thank you very much to Barbara Gordon for making that happen. And yeah, a lot of time, a lot of follow-up work, a little bit of frustration, I'm sure. But so thank you to Barbara for keeping our community a little extra safe.
That is great. Thank you. Thank you, Barbara. Thank you, Lisa.
I saw the mosquito control truck driving on number 9 road the other day. Yeah, he had a pickup truck full.
Don't tell where, because the trap locations are supposed to be a secret.
We have on our trucks.
Yeah, that's too funny. That's too funny. All right, mail is next, and. Hold on here, I got a little sidetracked in my piles of paper, of which the computer is supposed to make things easier, but I still have to have some paper. Okay, mail. Part one. Bear with me here, everyone. Okay, first item was already referenced tonight, and that is the open meeting law determination. That was the open meeting law. This is from the Office of the Attorney General regarding the open meeting law complaint against the Ta-Nehisi Select Board. And the Assistant Attorney General for the Division of Open Government found that the Select Board did not violate the open meeting law in convening an executive session on December 21st, 2021. The Assistant Attorney General found the board properly convened and deliberated in executive session and disagreed with the assertions to the contrary. So that is, complaint is now deemed resolved. So that is the first item that was there. Second is Pam Porter's resignation from the Zoning Board of Appeals, which was effective as July 1st. And that's why she wasn't reappointed. So thank you for your service, Sam. Okay, the next is a dog concern note, FYI, and that dog concern should be forwarded to the dog inspector. Then we have the email, the original email from Bob Viarango in regards to the 150th anniversary of Community Hall. And that was also attached. You had a history for those who wanted to read that of Community Hall. And then we have the June monthly report from our nurse, Claire. For you to read through. We have a copy of an article that was in the recorder for FYI. This was on book weeding policies, Mohawk Trail. That was an FYI for you to read. And the final piece in part one is a notice from KP Law on the temporary lifting of the cap on retiree earnings as for June, that was dated June 23rd, 2022, for your reading. Questions, thoughts, comments on part one? Sue?
No.
Brian?
I have none.
Bless you, bless you.
Thank you. Sorry about that.
All right. And then part two, the first item was the letter from the Board of Health on the mask mandate, lifting of the mask mandate, which I've already read. We have a... The next one is from our fire chief, Chief Nick. And this is the follow-up to the question about the secondary door egress over at the library at Jacobs Road, stating that the building was built to the building code and does meet the requirements based on occupancy and type of construction per the building code. His concerns were more of his own concerns, not a code issue. Then they can be further discussed later down the road. They do not impact, it does not impact any potential use of the space for the purpose for which it was built. It's the only town building in Heath that was built to the standard building code, and it is certainly most accessible. Okay, so that was that. The next is another from our fire chief, Chief Nick, and this is concerns about the construction up at Ballora Road. This is for issues that have happened during construction on the roadway. And Helma, did these concerns make it to the owners who are doing the work?
I have not communicated to them yet. I do not know if anyone else has. I certainly can let them know about this.
I think we should, because I think we have in our agreement, I think there were, you know, notes in there about if there are consecutive issues or concerns that we would bring that to their attention and, you know, do follow up if care isn't taken to correct the issues. And I understand there could be some other issues involved with this. We don't have, you know, obviously we don't have the whole picture, but I think we should at least do a follow up and talk, just mention that there's been some concerns.
Right. Because I'm a neighbor up here and you're on open meeting law, can you just read what the fire chief said was a concern?
It's basically it was from the wires that came down, telephone pole damage, lack of proper notification about the incident to the fire department, police department. And then the second was the road closure. So kind of following along what Devin asked about before, making sure that they have proper signage when there's a road closure, adequate signage, cones around any vehicles.
Okay. And then if it's not mentioned, there was an incident of an excavator that was left in a travel lane.
That's the cones. Yeah.
Okay. Yep. Great. Thank you.
Yep. So So I'm thinking just kind of piggybacking on Devin and this from Nick, and just I know of the accident this last weekend. Maybe some follow-up conversation about how to better address, because there's all different types of issues, right? There's road closures that are planned for, and then there's unplanned for events. But maybe that's a conversation between highway department, police, fire, and us. Maybe I'll have to take part in that as the liaison and try to have like a better way to handle that in the future, or see what we can do to kind of deal with some of those issues on the ones that we know of that are going to happen, road closures, but also those emergency situations. So I'll work on that a little bit too with you, Hema. The next item,
I think the email should be sent to the owner just so they know what's going on. And, you know, I mean, they should be concerned about that as anybody should.
I mean, there are some, and I don't know if this is the case, but I know that there's some regulations in place about, you know, heights of wires and when they took a wire down, not sure what the actual height of those wires are. So I think there's a lot of information we got to find out too, but we should definitely follow up with them. Because I agree with you, Brian. I completely remember in the agreement that we said if there are any type of issues that we would notify them, and they would have to kind of even give us a response of what their kind of their remedy to the situation was, that things couldn't just be left hanging.
Yeah. In fact, they may not have any idea what's going on there right now.
Right.
The corporate people.
Right. Okay, next is the copy of the letter of thanks that was sent to Cole Rain on the grant, for the redundancy and resiliency on that fiber networks. So that was signed and sent.
Thank you. I think it was David that wrote that, so thank you to him.
Yes.
For doing that on all of our behalf.
Yes. Okay, and then we have a letter. The next one is a letter from Bill Ennin, and this is the Heath closeout complete on the last mile support that was given to Heath. So that's a nice letter. That was written. Actually, I think I'm going to read it if everyone will allow me to. This was written to Sheila, and it was sent, copied to the MLB. With this email, I am confirming that the paperwork is in order and the grant contract for the EOHED for last mile support in Heath is closed. I would like to take this moment, this milestone really, to thank you and the many, many volunteers who turned an idea into reality. My first visit to Heath on behalf of EOHED was in the summer of 2016. Frustrations filled the room, morale was non-existent, and there was no clear path forward. In August of 17, our office executed a grant contract to Heath in the value of $820,000. We closed this contract today with the state having contributed a total of $2,739,820 toward a total capital cost. As you and the team know so very well, the issue of make ready dominated nearly every aspect of this capital construction project. I have a good sense of how agonizing this was for all of the Heath team, and I wished it could have been less so. In particular, I'd like to thank you all for your patience and persistence you demonstrated along the way. In my view, you found just the right balance of these two characteristics. We had to struggle through many situations where the project was upended. I always knew that you appreciated the efforts to assist Heath, but you and the other volunteers were appropriately and consistently vigilant. The team kept me motivated to get answers and keep the project moving forward. I did the best I could to match the passion. I'm proud to have been part of this truly remarkable effort. I want to wish you and the entire Heath team all the very best. Sincerely, Bill. So a really nice letter, and well-deserved. Well-deserved by everyone who worked so diligently for Heath's behalf. So thank you on that one. And next, Next is a copy of a letter that was sent from the Athol town manager. And this is being sent to our reps on the bills that are being looked at for remote meeting participation. So this is for you to take a look at, select board members. And if you have any questions, thoughts, we can talk about that a little bit more. Hilma, I don't know, do you want to give any more info on that one?
I can give you a little bit. Besides being the Athol town manager, Sean is also the president of the Small Town Administrators group. So even though he signed it as Athol town manager, his signature carries a lot of clout with the state. And basically, it's the Senate had already passed a bill extend the remote meeting participation. The House just passed a bill with a different end date. And the House also tacked on some other mandates that would go along with it. So their deadline was March 31st, 2023, that remote meetings would end. And then beginning April 1st, 2023, towns would be required to have the equipment, the technological know-how, et cetera, to be able to live stream meetings so that people could tune in while they're sitting in their homes. It's what is considered an unfunded mandate, if indeed it's included in the final bill and passes, in that it would be required with no financial support to the towns to comply with this. So small town administrators anyway are not in favor of it, just in the sense that small towns don't have that kind of resources at their disposal.
Thanks, Hilma.
Yep.
Well, that's for your reading pleasure. Next, the last two pieces.
Question.
Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
Are they asking individual towns to follow up with letters?
If we feel that way, we can certainly send a letter of support for our own thoughts. So every town, every and any town can.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it's something we should put on the agenda to see if we...
Sure. I would say take a read, and we can have that on for next week and see if we want to respond. Yep. I'm sure there might be some more upcoming information in the next week too that could be discussed around that.
Yeah.
And the last two items are, our exiting school committee rep has her own exit evaluation. A copy of that is submitted for your review. And the final piece is a copy of an article from the Recorder. And this is the grant for the redundant fiber network that we spoke about. And this is just the article that was in the Recorder for you to review. Anything else on part two? Sue?
Nope.
Brian?
Nope.
All right, great. Thank you. Agenda for next week. And so we have the dog hearing. Is the time on that 6:15 again, Hilma?
I think I put it at like 6:05.
Okay.
Kind of the very first.
Okay. We'll know if we need to add any more transfers if anything comes up. If not, we're good with that. We'll have appointments again. Hopefully we'll have that answer about Alice so we can do the one last ZBA appointment that we have so they can at least get a quorum.
Mm-hmm.
We will have maybe the cement pad again for the propane tanks.
Yes.
We have updated quotes on that. We can, Community Hall 150 again. Response to Mohawk Trail. Green communities. We can have the, what we just talked about there, the remote meeting participation.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that. What else, folks? What am I missing? What else did we have?
I don't think we had anything else.
Okay. All right. And then whatever comes up, we'll add it. And you'll send it out this week.
Mm-hmm.
Just checking one thing. Interesting. I think that's it. We've picked up everything from the meeting last week that we missed. We had some new things. That's it. So if there's anything else for tonight, Sue?
No.
Brian?
No.
Alma?
Nothing here.
All right, folks, thank you all for joining us again. Next week's meeting at Jacobs Road.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. So I take a motion to adjourn. I got nothing else. I feel like I should say something else.
Well, let me move that we adjourn so you don't have to.
When will you be willing to discuss the cell tower?
Yeah, I'd like to say something about this.
Okay, yeah, I was going to, but go ahead, Brian.
Public comment is just that, public comment. If you want to engage in conversation, then you should send a request to the town coordinator to get on the agenda for, 10 or 15 minutes, and that's a legitimate way to have a conversation.
Well, email seems legitimate as well. And besides that, any time of the time you blame the executive session exemptions as a reason not to talk about anything.
No, I'm just telling you, if you want to have these conversations, how to do it. Just you have to make an appointment on the agenda. And then we can have this conversation.
Right, but will you just simply say executive session and not talk about it?
I don't follow you, and I just told you how you could go about having access.
Right. We will
answer the questions that we feel we can answer, Jesse. That's the best answer we can give you.
Right,
but you're more than welcome to create.
I've been trying to communicate with you long before this issue came up.
We're not going to fight, Jesse. We've just given you the option on how to have the conversation.
Not fight, because any other time you guys say, well, that's an executive session. You told me that's an executive session. I begged for information. You told me it was an executive session. You can't tell me anything. And that's just not true.
Jesse, if you have specific questions.
Session. You told me that's an executive session. I begged for information. You told me it was an executive session. You can't tell me anything. And that's just not true.
Jesse, if you have specific questions that are very specific and to the point, and you'd like to put them in writing so that we can get you specific answers, send that in an email, please.
I saw Hilma's email, but I...